What's up, everybody? Just want to let you know that By the Hood is powered by MDC Strategy. So Corey and I have partnered with several other educators and investors to create MDC Strategy. Just want to let you know this is not a get-rich-quick scheme or a fake internet guru selling you dreams of wealth. This is a community of educators and investors who believe in the power of community and shared ideas. We share information about real estate, long-term stock investing, precious metals, options trading, cryptocurrency, and much, much more. To get more information, go to mdcstrategy.com.
Everybody is not meant to own real estate. Everybody is not meant to be a real estate investor. I don't care what people tell you online. Real estate investing is not for everyone. Or shall I say, being a landlord is not for everyone, because there are a number of ways you can invest in real estate. What's up, people? Welcome to this episode of the By the Hood podcast or webcast, because I don't know how you're consuming this content. I'm your host, as always. My name is Jimmy. And as we start off every show, that's with gratitude. Shout out to all of our supporters, everyone who, you know, holds us down in terms of what we do at By the Hood. Special shout out to all the students from By the Hood University, as well as the youth from the By the Hood Ownership Camp and all of our private members of MDC Strategy. This is the Wednesday show. We, you know, still have our personal finance conversations. I'm dolo today. I'm actually traveling, so my background looks a little different. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina right now at a conference that I had to speak at. Everything's going well, but still wanted to drop a podcast, a little quick pod for the Wednesday show, because having conversations at this conference with other real estate professionals, and in the middle of doing so, I had an article pop up on my feed. So, you know, I got the little Google News joint going, so I always get interesting articles about personal finance, real estate, the stock market, Bitcoin, and such. So this one popped up on my feed, and I was like, something I can, you know, little break down a little bit further on the podcast. So make sure to do all the YouTube and stuff, like, comment, subscribe. It's going to be a short show, but, you know, I want to bring you this content nonetheless. And this content is about real estate and being a real estate investor, right? So this is an article from MarketWatch. For those that are watching the video, you can see the article. I still will leave a link to this article within the show notes, so you can take a look at it, and also in the description if you're watching the video on YouTube or Facebook. If you're listening to the audio, I will read a little bit of this article. You know, make sure you check it out. You know, and give me some feedback on how you think about this article and my thought process in terms of reading this article. So it says, I'm 71 and own rental homes in California worth millions, but my wife and I recently moved to North Carolina and want a simpler life. Who can help us, right? Shout out to Elisa Wolfson, who did this article. So the person is asking for help. They own millions of dollars in real estate in California, but they're looking for a simpler life. They want to slow down and do things simple. It says, my wife and I are both 71 and own rental real estate in San Jose, California that they've had for decades. The equity is worth millions, and I have a property manager. I have a pension, very small Social Security income, and a large rental income. We have more than enough for all of our expenses and have savings and stocks too. We just moved to North Carolina. My wife, family, and friends would love us to have a simpler life without the hassle of rental real estate. I did do a 1031 exchange a few months ago that went well, but still puts us in the role of rental ownership. It seems to me that the equity buildup in the Bay Area is hard to find elsewhere. I don't need more monthly income, but I feel stuck because of the hundreds of thousands of dollars in capital gains taxes I would pay to sell. Who would be the right professional to help me, and what should I be asking them to do? So this is really a tax question. Maybe I'll send this article to my brother Kamari, who's my tax professional and does a lot of amazing work. Go check out his channel, The Finance Rebel. He talks about taxes a lot because it's also a tax question. But someone who's a real estate investor, a real estate data scientist, and, you know, has made my living in real estate, I saw this and had a whole different perspective on this article. And by the way, the article goes into the answer to the article. The guy goes into a lot of different tax strategies. All of them have, you know, certain benefits, certain negatives. He talks a lot about, like, you know, possibly a trust or all those different type things you could do. So, but I'm not going to get into the tax aspects of this. One of the things that stuck out to me was someone who worked their life, built up a huge portfolio that gives them income gives them equity, and the money is working for them, but they still feel stuck. That to me was interesting. Because one of the things that we talk about a lot is lifestyle design. People think they want certain things and then they end up getting them and they realize the responsibility that comes with having these things. And they're like, did I really want that? Right? So there's a responsibility as a landlord, no matter what people on social media make you feel. You a good landlord feels responsible to provide a quality product for their tenants. They feel responsible to all stakeholders who surround that transaction, whether it's a property manager, like I said, your actual tenants, your partner, even in the fact that most people will have to pay their partner a mortgage, also their partner a tax man, right? So you're responsible for a lot of different parties as a landlord. And when you want to slow down, you want to scale down, you don't want that responsibility because you want a simpler life, it can be cumbersome. So it's interesting. This gentleman has built up a, you know, him and his wife have built up millions of dollars and they're 71 years old and they feel stuck. So I think that is what stuck out to me most in this article. And one thing that I wanted to say about real estate ownership, and I think it's important to say this, and this is coming from someone who is a licensed realtor, someone who has made a living in real estate. And I often have this debate with a lot of my colleagues in the real estate space when I say that everybody is not meant to own real estate. Everybody is not meant to be a real estate investor. I don't care what people tell you online. Real estate investing is not for everyone. Or shall I say, being a landlord is not for everyone, because there are a number of ways you can invest in real estate. So let's talk about different ways, whether that is just, you know, doing flips where you buy a property, add value to said property and sell it. You can be a developer where maybe you're buying land or a dilapidated building and putting value into that and developing that site. Let's talk about the idea of a real estate investment trust. I'm always shocked at it that a lot of people aren't familiar with real estate investment trusts, where you can go onto the stock market and buy equity in different real estate vehicles via a REIT, which is, to me, is really the only passive way of being in real estate. But there are a number of ways that you can make money. I was watching a video. I think it was on that CNBC YouTube channel, I Made It or what have you. And it was talking about a lady who's in construction. And she's making millions of dollars in construction without having to own property, because she's an engineer and an architect, and she's creating these beautiful plans and designs, and she's making money in the real estate space without having to deal with the burden of being a landlord and that responsibility. I've met several people who are real estate appraisers who have contracts with banks and private investors. One guy I know makes over $1 million a year. And he told me that he would never buy long-term real estate because he didn't want the hassle of being a landlord, right? Now, it doesn't mean that I'm anti-landlord. Don't get me wrong. That is still a way that you can build wealth. But you have to ask yourself, do you have the temperament? Do you have the time, skills, knowledge, ability to do so? Do you want to do that, right? Do you actually want to be a landlord, or do you just want what being a landlord provides you in terms of equity buildup, cash flow? Because what I'll tell you is there are several other ways to get equity buildup and cash flow. That is not the only way. When I was coming up, I was one of these guys because, again, my history, I learned a lot through real estate. It was my major in college. So I was one of these real estate only guys, but I had to mature, and it comes from learning and getting new information, new ideas, and being an independent thinker and actually start to think these things through. And, you know, sometimes people are trapped in the quote unquote real estate bubble and all they see is real estate. But then when you get outside of that bubble and you realize that you're spending all your time, energy and money on, you know, buying as many doors as possible, and someone who has a business is going to make your annual income within a week, you say, am I doing something wrong? Is that the only way to build up equity? Right? Real estate is a hard asset. I don't think it's the hardest asset. I have a whole show on Monday where I talk about the hardest asset, which I believe to be Bitcoin. Stack, sat, to die, try, and check that out on Mondays. This is not a plug for that, though, although I'm sitting here with my shirt on, HODL shirt. But anyway, but real estate still is a hard asset. Gold is a hard asset, right? And what's interesting about that is we're in this place where inflation is running rampant. As I record this, the report just came out that inflation is up. And I'm looking at the prices of the hardest assets to me, real estate, Bitcoin, and gold. They're all up over this year as inflation has been going crazy because, you know, hard assets tend to go up. But again, land is where the real value lies in real estate. I went into a whole diatribe about that in our last Stack Stat show. But land is where the true value lies, right? But if you're looking for a source of income, which is why a lot of people go to being a landlord, that's a whole different thing. But what I'll tell you is it's not the only thing. And I know that this episode, this conversation is going to piss a lot of people off because a lot of my friends and colleagues and people that watch our channel, listen to our content, are real estate people. And again, I'm not disparaging real estate, but I think it's important to understand that it's not the only way. Because I know some people who already know this are like, duh, you have no idea how many people I know who believe that real estate is the only path to wealth. People actually believe this. And I know this because I'm at a real estate conference right now having conversations, and there are people that literally believe that real estate is the only path to wealth. I'm speaking at another event in Philadelphia on April 19th and 20th. And it's going to be funny because I'm surrounded by a bunch of people in real estate. And part of my conversation is real estate's beautiful. It's not the only way. It's not the only hard asset. In fact, it's not the hardest asset. In fact, when people say they're not making any more real estate, I'm going to show you how that's a lie, right? If you watched the last episode of Stack Sat, you'll know what I'm talking about. But forget that. Again, not about that. But the idea of lifestyle design, designing a life that you want to live as opposed to doing what you think you're supposed to do and then feeling trapped. This guy has millions and feels trapped. And I know a lot of people say, well, give me the millions. I'm okay with feeling trapped if I have millions and a bunch of cash flow. It's easy to say till you get there. When you feel like you can't move freely because this thing is always over here. Because to me, I feel like reading this guy is a responsible and good landlord because he's worried about providing that quality experience to his tenants. He's also worried about, he's not just running the buildings down and saying, okay, some people actually do that. They'll run their buildings down so they've milked enough money out of it, and then they'll sell it for pennies on a dollar so they don't have that much of a capital gains tax, but they've just milked the property completely dry. I've seen that happen. So this guy seems to be a responsible person, and he still feels trapped. He did everything the quote unquote right way, and now he's at a point in his life where he's just like, yo, I just want peace. And, you know, it's a struggle for him considering this real estate. So I guess my overall arching theme for this episode is even if you want to be in real estate, there's more than one way. You can learn to wholesale, right? Wholesaling is very difficult in 2024. I have a lot of people who hit me up and ask about wholesaling. I have wholesaled in the past, but I wholesaled in a much less competitive environment, right? I'm an old geezer. So when I was out wholesaling, there wasn't a preponderance of social sites and the internet the way it is. So you're not going to, there are people that try to wholesale in different states from other states. So you're competing literally with the world, which makes it difficult. Doesn't mean you can't do it, right? You can set up a business and put in systems in place that will allow you to do so. But do you want to spend your energy there? You can go bird dog. That's another way to make money in real estate. Bird dogging is where you find the deals and bring them to someone who can, get the deal done and you just take a smaller piece. There are a number of ways to make money in real estate. You could be a successful property manager where you don't necessarily have the equity, but you find a way to cash flow that way. I say all that to say, really think through what it is you're trying to do, right? And there are more than one way to own real estate. I was going over my overall portfolio and I've simplified my portfolio. I guess I'm in the process of simplifying my life as well, although I'm not as old as this gentleman. Believe it or not, he's still twice my age. But what I'll say is this. I was looking at my portfolio and it's based upon three major asset classes: real estate, the stock market, and Bitcoin. That's literally my whole portfolio. Now, what's within there? A couple ETFs. I have about three ETFs in total. I'll be transparent. I'll tell you my three ETFs because I was going to share this online anyway. VU, MGK, and VNQ, right? Technically, I have four ETFs because I own some IBIT in my IRA. So four ETFs, which is VNQ, IBIT, MGK, and VU, right? That's that portion. my real estate portfolio. I've been scaling down and scaling down and scaling down. I still own about, I think in terms of doors, maybe 6 or 7 doors at this point. I got to check, but they're, you know, multifamily home, majority single family homes that are rental properties that, you know, not my primary. So single family residential real estate, the stocks I just told you about, and then Bitcoin. That's my whole portfolio. So it's very simplified. And in actually saying this out loud, what's interesting is in that stock portfolio, two of those stocks, one being VNQ and one being IBIT, are real estate and Bitcoin. So if I had to really guess, a majority of my portfolio, if I'm thinking about this in percentages, I'm just thinking out loud right now, probably about 80% of my portfolio was real estate and Bitcoin, comprised of MGK, which is a growth ETF in the S&P 500. Wow. Anyway, that's a realization I just had as I was, you know, having this conversation with you guys. So life is very simple. Now I just fund those things and mind my business. And I haven't really been adding too much more real estate. I'm actually scaling down the single family residential properties and then converting them into the more paper assets, because I'm already feeling like this guy and I'm not 71. And it's not that I have a lot of bad experiences. A lot of my residential real estate, I would say all my doors, with the exception of two, are in contracts with the government. That's my partner, Section 8, PHA here in Philadelphia. So, you know, but even that relationship, like, I got repairs I got to make now. So even that relationship is something that I'm getting tired of. I'm just getting tired of being a landlord. I'm not gonna lie to you, right? But I do understand the value proposition of real estate. So I always want to have a little bit of land, which is why the real estate ETF is really becoming a bigger part of my portfolio. So, but I also want to still continuously develop within certain neighborhoods. We are by the hood. So one of my things is to continuously add value in our neighborhoods, explain why there is value in our neighborhoods. So even having a conversation with my real estate partner, I think moving forward, what I want to do is buy raw land and add value by creating new structures, but not for me to hold, for me to try to help people, first-time home buyers, get a good quality product. I think that's where I want to move with my real estate career as an investor. That's a personal preference. But I do think I'm kind of moving away from the buy and hold for the rest of your life approach, because what I realize is there are other assets that I can buy and hold for the rest of my life that will not cause me the stresses and the headaches and all the other things that come with residential real estate. So I don't think it's a thing of being burnt out. I think it's more of a lifestyle design. But I want to have this conversation with you guys on the podcast, because I know a lot of people struggle with this because they think about, I got to get rentals. Do you want rentals, or do you want what you think the rental is going to provide for you, right? Shout out to my brother, Don Johnson, right? Talk to Don all the time. Don is like big on ETS. In fact, we jokingly call him V-Don. I know Don watches our pod, so shout out to you, brother. But we had a conversation before, and he's like, yo, I want to own the home I live in, and I could deal with the rest in the market, right? So, and that's his perspective. That's his approach. And Don is a successful guy, you know, who's done amazing things. In fact, we had him on a podcast to talk about his strategy in terms of being a military guy and building wealth. So go check that episode out with Don Johnson. But what he says is true. He can get exposure to real estate a whole different way without dealing with what this gentleman is dealing with in this article. So I just want to make sure that you guys understand that, because for some people, this sounds like, you know, I know I'm being redundant right here, but for some people, this sounds crazy. But again, my life is comprised of talking to people in personal finance, like, you know, it's what I do for a living. So I see some of the thoughts and some of the concerns and some of the ideas that people have specifically surrounding real estate, and also see the stresses that it causes a lot of people who just, you know, are tired of dealing with it. And to be completely honest, throughout my career, a lot of the properties that I flipped, I bought, were from old landlords who just got burnt out. They provided opportunities for me. So I also don't want to be this guy and come into this realization when, you know, I'm trying to settle down in life and live out, you know, these days people live into 100. So I don't even want to say his last years. He's 70. He might got another 30 years left, but he wants to live 30 years peacefully. Literally, the article talks about, you know, trying to have a simple life, something that he can enjoy. It's a very simple life. I want a simple life too. I just want to, you know, sit around, make memes and watch Netflix. Like, you know what I mean? I ain't one of these people that gonna tell you out here, yo, you gotta hustle, you gotta be doing this, you gotta stop watching TV, read 7,000 books. No, dog, I ain't trying to do all that, man. Like, FOH, I'm trying to enjoy my life. I love reading books, but I'm also trying to watch Netflix and, you know, a little bit of Ratchet YouTube. So I want to watch Ratchet YouTube. I don't want to be, you know, changing the different stuff inside of a rental property, right? I don't want to be. I had a tenant one time call me. True story. Older lady, was a tenant of mine. She said, "Mr. Jimmy," I said, "Yeah, how can I? What's going on? What's everything okay at the property?" "Yeah, I just need your help. I need you to come fix something." I'm like, "What's that?" "Need a new light bulb in the bathroom." Real phone call, late at night. I'm like, "So you're calling me because, well, you're the landlord. I need a light bulb fixed." Yeah, this true story, right? So these are some of the things you deal with. And, you know, she's a nice old lady, always paid rent on time. I didn't do it that evening, but I went and changed it for what have you. But it's like, I always talk about this on the Friday show, and we're live every Friday, 7 p.m. We do a Bitcoin giveaway every Friday. But I want to do a whole podcast one day, podcast series on just the crazy story, the crazy landlord stories, and bring on some of my friends and colleagues to tell their crazy landlord stories. That would be an amazing podcast that somebody's probably going to steal once I put this out here. But, you know, maybe if you do steal it, though, invite me on as a guest. I got crazy stories. But so anyway, with that being said, make sure you pull up on Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We do a live show. We're going to give away Bitcoin every Friday, as we always do. Monday is our Bitcoin only show, Stack Sats at Dietrian, where I talk about my love of Bitcoin and all things surrounding it. And, you know, our Wednesday podcast is usually me and my brother Core, but, you know, a lot going on with me traveling and all that. But I want to make sure that we get some content out. So I recorded this, you know, while on the run eating, as Nori would say, on the road. So but I hope you got some value from this conversation that I'm having with you guys. I would love to get your feedback on real estate. Where does real estate fall in your portfolio? Are you someone who's looking to get into real estate? Are you someone who's looking to scale back? Do you approach real estate completely differently? Are you someone that just does REITs? Or now a lot of times people do the crowdfunding thing where you own partial interest in real estate. There are a lot of people, a lot of them scammers, but it's still a lot of people who are trying to figure out real estate on the blockchain, right? So different forms of ownership. And what I'm talking about really is the residential landlord component, because commercial, it's its own conversation. And I know a lot of people now who own commercial real estate who are struggling, specifically if they own office buildings. I look at the office data. It's nasty out there. There's some office buildings with less than 50% vacancy right now, right? So everything's cool when the market is booming and pre-pandemic and you're making money hand over fist, but people never think about the downtimes, right? People even say that to me as someone who buys a lot of Bitcoin, like, are you prepared for when it takes its swing, right? And what I like to think about is when things are going good right now, we're cracking all-time highs, is when I'm preparing for when things go the other way. So you always got to prepare for the bad times during the good times. And it's hard to do, because when the good times are booming, stock market too, when good times are booming, you're enjoying the boom and you're not thinking about the other side. You know, you're thinking like it's never going to go down, right? I know a lot of people within the last decade who got into investing, who thought they were geniuses, and now they're realizing that they caught the part of a bull market. So it's like, oh, okay, so it does go the other way. Anyway, what is your perspective on real estate investing? Do you want to be a physical landlord? Because, like, again, not knocking it. Some people have that skill set, right? Some people are willing to do the work. There are people out there who want to be their own property manager. That's cool. Is that something you're interested in, or do you have a different perspective on having ownership in real estate as it pertains to your personal finance? I would love to get some feedback from you. Leave it in the comment section. Hit us up on socials. Make sure you join us on Friday. Check out Stack Sats. Love you guys. As we always say, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much you keep. Game elevates, and we'll see you in the next episode. Peace.